It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting,
marshmallows for toasting,
and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories
and tales of the glories
of Christmases long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoe showing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That has got to be my favorite Christmas song. It pretty much sums up how we feel about this season. But you know, these couple of Christmases just haven't been the same. I miss traveling with the family, going away to the cold, to the snow, making family memories. But you know what? We're going to make it happen this year. With the same familiar places, but with my favorite faces.
Stuck in the city, the humbugs are here, looking for pity, the blues are here to stay. Let's find magic in the old familiar places, feel the warmth in the same beloved faces. This year, let's travel deep within, perhaps we'll find what Christmas truly needs. We'll miss the cues, what's Felix this year? Slipping and sliding down the slopes all day, stuck in the heat, down in iced tea or beer, looking for cheer, stuck in the same old place. Let's find magic in the old familiar places, feel the warmth in the same beloved faces. This year, let's travel deep within, perhaps we'll find what Christmas truly means. Won't be a white Christmas this year. The snow we escape, the winter holiday. Stuck in the city with family here.
You know,
I think it's gonna be okay. I think we're gonna be okay.
Uh-huh.
I think we're gonna be okay.
This year, Mom?
I don't know. Maybe Snow City?
That sounds like an amazing plan.
Let's go.
There is a place called home I can almost see, with a red front door, a roaring fire, and a Christmas tree. Yes, a place called home, full of love and family. And I'm there at the door, watching you come home to me. Through the years, I will recall this day, in your arms, where I finally found my way to a place called home. Those are the lyrics of a beautiful song, painting for us an image of a perfect home.
It is an image you can find on almost all the Christmas cards sold out there.
Ask any child to draw you a picture of a home and you'll likely see this. A roof, a brick wall, two windows, and a door.
What really is home? Home is where our story begins, the story of who we are and the collection of our memories.
Home is a place where your roots grow. There's no place more delightful than home. And there's no comfort that can be compared to the comfort of being in your own bed.
A house is not just made of brick and mortar, but by those who live there.
Yes, a home is built with love and dreams, not just walls and beams.
It is where you can leave everything you love and find it still there when you return.
Home should be our anchor, a place of refuge in which we all dwell, a place where we are loved and where we can love.
You know, you can rent a house, but when you own a home, it is something permanent. It is the best investment anyone can make. For many, it is the keystone of wealth. There is nothing more exciting than moving into your very own home. Hey guys, early this year, my family and I finally moved into our new place.
Wow, Where is it?
Clementi. And I tell you, getting our place was nothing short of a miracle.
Oh, tell us about it, Adrian.
My wife Esther and I have been house hunting since the beginning of last year. You see, we have been staying in Pasir Ris for the past 18 years. Now that our daughters have all grown and will be attending schools in the West, well, we thought it was about time that we moved to the West Side as well.
Oh, but why Clementi, Adrian?
Because geographically, Clementi, it's the best neighborhood. We didn't want anywhere beyond Clementi. So we got our former property agent to help us market our place at Pasir Ris while we hunted for one in Clementi.
I heard buying a house is one thing, but selling your house, another headache.
You got that right, Charmaine. And you know, we had so much trouble selling our place. You see, if we didn't sell, we couldn't buy.
Pasir Ris is a pretty nice neighborhood, Queenstown too. But you shouldn't have any problem selling it.
Technically speaking, yes. But 24 groups of people came by, but none of them were keen. It was always the same feedback they gave us. The area outside our place, too messy. Oh. And mind you, it wasn't a mess created by us, but rather by our neighbor.
How?
You see, my neighbor loves plants. We love plants too. We don't mind some lush greenery by our corridor. But the thing is, she's also a hoarder. So the entire area became so untidy, very unkempt. Bottles of water were everywhere. Newspapers all over the floor with soil on them. And her plant prunings, they were never cleared.
Terrible!
So, for a period of 7 months, many groups came by, but none of them were interested. You know, we started to panic, became desperate. We then decided to rope in an old friend of ours, who's also a property agent, to help us sell our place at Pasir Ris. At the same time, another friend also offered to help us with the buying part for free.
Oh, so nice.
So Esther and I did a lot of homework, and there were several units we really liked. But we were afraid to put in an offer because we just could not sell our place.
Looks like you needed a miracle, Adrian.
Yes, indeed. But a miracle really did happen. Around that time, we chanced upon this 5-room flat in Clementi listed only one day ago. When we looked at the photos of the interior, well, we kind of liked it. But then, suddenly from out of nowhere, God spoke to Esther and told her, look again.
Look again? What did you see?
When we looked closer at the photos of the interior, we realized that the floor tiles of this unit was exactly the same as the floor tiles in our Pasir Ris place.
Wow.
Yeah, there was such a sudden leap in our spirit. What are the odds of that, right? I mean, two families so far apart, but yet we both chose the same tile design.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. And so we felt in our hearts that this could possibly be the place that God was preparing for us. So we arranged for a viewing. When the day came, and we met their agent, we found out she's somebody we know from church.
Ah, the plot thickens.
Not only that, when my daughter Shina met one of their daughters, suddenly she went, hey, I know you, we're from the same school.
Wow.
So we started chatting and found out that the owners of this house are also from our church.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, both our daughters are in the same CCA in school and the same youth group in church. Yeah.
So many coincidences.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, but we felt that this was more than just coincidence. Because when we stepped into the house, we immediately felt this immense peace. It was as if the whole house was baked with the presence of God. Oh, and the next best thing is the prize was well within our range. And we were the very first family to view that place. So we told the owners, please, transact with us. We explained to them that we had not sold our place yet, but that we were sincere and committed in buying their flat. But unfortunately, a few days later, we got a call from the agent telling us that the owners accepted another offer. We were utterly disappointed. I mean, can't be, right? There were so many signs, so many coincidences. The floor tile, the good price, the immense peace. We cried painfully over the matter. And after struggling for some time, we just had to let it go into God's hands. If this place was for us, God would make it happen. Then Esther had another word from God, and he told her, lose to gain. One of those nights, I too had a dream, and in that dream, God told me, stand fast. Stand fast. Oh, and then suddenly, 2 weeks later, from out of nowhere, the agent called us and told us, the buyers withdrew their offer. Yeah, and when she asked us whether we were still interested in the unit, of course we were interested in the unit, right? That's not all. After we confirmed the price with the owner, guess what? The 25th viewer, Taiwanese family, came by to view our Pasir Ris flat, and they just wanted to buy it just like that. Believe it or not, they wanted it because of my neighbor's plants. How ironic is that? So in the end, we managed to get the Clementi unit we desired and also sold our Pasir Ris flat in the nick of time. And all this happened around Christmas last year. So this house is truly a Christmas gift from God.
What about those matching floor tiles, Adrian? Did you build it into your new home?
Yes, we call it the miracle tile. Funny thing is, we found 36 pieces of this tile in our Pasir Ris flat. So we had it rebuilt into the storeroom of our Clementi unit. After everything was done, we had one tile left. So we have decided to frame it up as an art piece to constantly remind us of God's goodness, faithfulness, and providence.
Wow, Adrian, that was a great story.
Wow. For Adrian, home is where his anchor drops. For me, home is where I hang my hat. Now, someone once said that the world is an open book, and those who do not travel read only one page. I am one of those infected with a bug.
Ah.
A travel bug.
Oh, come on. Who let this guy in, man?
I still remember it was the year 2018, the date December 23rd. I had my bags all packed and ready to fly off to New York that night. When I arrived at the airport, I was told that I needed an ESTA before I could check in.
ESTA? What is that?
Yeah.
It's an application I needed to submit prior to my travel to the States. Without it, I could not enter the country. I had traveled to US many times, but never had to apply for one. I suppose the regulations had changed.
Yeah, but I've always thought that our passport grants us free access to most countries in the world.
Well, the airport officer told me to apply for it online, and it would take 24 hours for the approval to come through. But I only had 2 hours prior to my takeoff. He then advised me to go to one of the travel agents located at Terminal 3, where I can get it done on the spot. So I lugged my luggage all the way from Terminal 1 to Terminal 3, where the travel agent is located. Finally, I submitted my application and was told it would take 5 minutes for the approval to come through. But I waited for 20 minutes and still no approval. Oh, I began to panic as I had to get back to the check-in counter before it closed.
Oh, that must have been so nerve-wracking for you.
It was. Finally, the approval came through. I rushed all the way back. And when I got there...
Wait, don't tell me it was closed.
Yes. Oh. I missed it by just a few minutes. I did all I could to get myself through, but they said no, closed, no exceptions allowed. Oh, I was so flustered. What was going to happen to all my hotel bookings?
Yeah, so what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
I was then advised to try buying a new one-way ticket there and then take the outbound flight back on the original airline I purchased. So I did that, and it cost me another $1,200. Well, at least finally I was on my way to New York.
You know what the song says, right? If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Well, that's not all. Huh? When I called the original airline I first bought the ticket from, I was told that for security reasons, I could not take the outbound flight back. Huh? If I opted for a refund, I would have to pay a penalty of $350. In order to come home, I had to buy another one-way ticket back. So in the end, all the tickets cost me 3 times more than what I had initially paid for.
Oh, poor Peter. But you've been to US so many times. Mm. What made it so special this time around?
Yeah.
Oh, I've always wanted to witness the ball drop at Times Square on New Year's Eve. It's something on my bucket list I needed to check off. I never got to do it in the past because I had to get back to work.
Yeah, but all this trouble just to see a ball drop at Times Square.
You don't understand. New York is like a second home to me. I love the vibrancy, the cosmopolitan culture, the skyline. It's the movie capital of the world. I feel so much at home there.
Oh, wait, so Peter, this ball drop, did you finally get to see it? Mm-hmm.
Yes, but by the time I got there, it was 8 p.m. and it was so jam-packed. The closest I could get was 8 streets away.
Oh,
what's worse, it had been raining the entire day. Imagine, I had to stand in the winter cold for 4 hours before I could witness a ball drop at the stroke of midnight.
Peter, you could have watched all this on YouTube, stayed dry, and be able to go pee.
I know. All this trouble just to check something off my bucket list. When I finally did it, I felt such a sense of accomplishment. It was like hitting a home run.
Peter, do you ever miss home when you travel?
I don't. I guess home is where my heart is. Anywhere is home. As long as I'm happy there, that is my home.
We have many places to go every day, but there's one place that we always return to. Our home. But the truth is, not every home is a house, and not every house is a home. Well, it didn't always feel like that for me. I was 19 when my parents got a divorce. It made me very sad to see their marriage disintegrate before my eyes. I could not understand why it had to end this way.
I know exactly how you feel, Charmaine. My parents got divorced when I was 9.
We are not in their shoes. So we can never really understand what went on between them.
Yeah, that must have been really hard on you, Charmaine.
Oh, it was. I mean, it's never easy seeing a house being torn apart, right? I felt depressed, as there was a lot of uncertainty. I lost interest in my studies, did badly in my exams. It was difficult to talk to anyone about the matter. I could only cry and talk to God.
What did God say to you?
He told me that He is my Heavenly Father and that He loves me and will take care of me.
Without both parents, somehow a house just doesn't feel complete, right? It must have felt especially empty during festive seasons.
Yeah. That year was the hardest, when we moved out of the home which we grew up in. A place which we once called home was no longer home. I remember New Year's Eve that year. I felt really low. I wasn't in the mood for any celebration. I didn't even wish to hang out with my friends. But I did want to be with someone. So I went to look for my friend, Hui Chu, who sells tissue paper from a motor wheelchair in Holland Village.
It's human to want to feel connected to others. It's how God made us. And our lives are about relationships we form with each other.
Yeah.
How do you know this friend?
Oh, I was actually in the area some years ago, and I felt a nudge from God to go talk to that man over there. So that's how our friendship started. Over the past 7 years, I would go and visit him often, and we would just hang out, you know, chit-chat. And over time, we became close friends. So, New Year's Eve that year, we just hung out and chatted. It is kind of ironic, I would say, because Hui Chu himself didn't have a place to call home. He and his mom had lived on the streets for many years until a friend took them in to live with her family.
God does set the lonely in families.
Somehow, that New Year's Eve was the most meaningful I've had in my life. I remember wanting to wish Hui Chu 新年快乐,身体健康. You know, his reply to me was so simple. He said, "With Jesus, I will." His simple faith and trust in God reminded me there's so much to be thankful for.
Whether we live in a home or on the streets, we all have one thing in common: the need to feel that we belong and somewhere we can call home.
For some, home is found within four walls. But for others, home is found in the love and life shared with a community of people. And this was home for Hui Chu.
Wow, Shams, that's so true. Thanks for sharing. You see, everyone, the ache for home and family lives in all of us. We all want a safe place where we can run to, a place where we can just be ourselves. Yet, home is also a place where conflicts arise. You see, my relationship with my dad has always been good. You know the phrase, "Don't judge a book by its cover"? That really applies to my dad. He may not have the friendliest of faces, but his heart is always kind and tender towards me and my sister.
Do you both do things together?
Well, of course. We both love hanging out over our favourite ramen. We can talk about anything, really. We're even comfortable with silence between us.
That reminds me of me and my dad, too.
Oh, that's really nice. So, 3 years ago, my sister got accepted into a student exchange program in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah. So my mom decided to take some time off work to join her. So it's just me and my dad for 2 weeks. And then we got into a fight.
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, one Thursday, I asked if my then-boyfriend, Chinpin, could stay over at our place that weekend because we had somewhere to go on Saturday, right? But my dad, being super conservative, he immediately said no. He was so antagonistic about the matter, so we had an argument and went to bed angry that night.
Well, I think I know your father's heart. I'm conservative in that aspect as well. I don't think I would allow my daughter to do that.
Well, the next day, we actually woke up as if nothing had happened. It was a Friday, and you know, we just want to put the matter behind us. So that morning, we left the house together to take the train to work. As we parted ways, he squeezed my hand to say goodbye, like he often does. In fact, he was in a pretty good mood that day. He told me, right, he's going to have high tea with his friends that afternoon.
Wow, high tea on a working day? Lucky man, I would love that too.
Right?
Show me, show me.
Right, everyone? My dad. Anyway, At about 3 that afternoon, I received a strange call from a number I didn't recognize.
Ah, scam call.
You see, I thought so, right? So I didn't pick up.
Clever.
But then it rang again. And this time, it was my dad's number, but another man's voice in the line. He told me that something had happened to my dad, and they were on the way to the hospital, and asked if I could rush down immediately. I was just so shocked. I rushed out as soon as I could. In the cab, negative thoughts began running through my mind. What if something really bad was to happen to him? What if? My mind was just clouded with the many what ifs.
You must have been so worried, Sarah.
I was, Yen. When I got to the hospital, I found out that my dad had suffered a stroke. Thank God, one of his friends co-identified the symptoms when he started speaking gibberish.
Thankfully, he was amongst friends, because sometimes these symptoms are very difficult to spot.
Yeah. Exactly. Did you have any idea how distraught I was? My first thought was, did I cause him to have a stroke? Because of the argument we had the night before? I felt a whole weight of guilt in my heart. I called Chimpin and my aunt, but they couldn't leave work to join me. And just to top it all off, my mom and sister were in Canada. I had never felt so alone.
I know what you mean, Sarah.
The weight on my heart was just too much. I broke down crying. It was as if the whole world had crashed down on me. When I finally had the chance to tell my mom and sister what had happened, they too wanted to come home, but I told them, no, it's just too troublesome to do so. So, that night, I stayed over at my boyfriend's place. His family comforted and assured me that things would be all right. I felt safe and glad that I wasn't alone.
Good that you were with his family.
Yeah. After my dad's surgery, it took a while for him to recover. He was suffering from aphasia and couldn't name objects correctly. Did you know he even got my name and my sister's name mixed up? I was so worried. I visited him every day at the hospital just to make sure he's all right.
Wow. You never know how selfless you can be until something like that happens to you.
You're right. I guess this is what it means to be family. To be there for each other in times of need.
Sometimes, a home is made out of sadness, heartbreak, and grief. But still, home is where our hearts live. Growing up in my family, I had my dad, my mom, my grandma, and my two younger brothers. I was brought up by my ama. And she was always wearing this sangfu that had little flower prints. Her hair would be in a neat bun. And she had the kindest eyes and the most gentle smile. Every night before I sleep, she would sing to me, "Oh, oh, kung a tik me tua tik tu."
Aw, that's adorable, Yen. My grandma doesn't sing us nursery rhymes, but she sends us WhatsApp stickers and voice messages. Pretty tech savvy, I must say. How about you, Peter? How's your grandma like?
Oh, like a bee. Always busy around the house.
Oh, mine's a disciplinarian. But she shows us her affection by cooking up a storm in the kitchen.
My ama too. She cooks the tastiest ngoh hiang. You know, every morning she also cooks porridge for me. And before I went to school, she will braid my hair every day in a different style.
Every day? Wow, was she a hairstylist in her time?
No lah. I remember this one time, I was about 7 years old, and I saw this big box of toy cars, matchbox cars, that I really liked. And the next day, Ama actually bought it for me.
Wow.
Ama, how did you afford this? 不要紧 lah. Ama 有从担保对. I was so touched, and I was so happy.
Oh, yeah, and your grandma seems like a really nice person.
She is, and I really adore her. Then one day, she passed away, and Dad said it was cancer.
Oh, how old were you then?
I was only 11. I was very sad. Suddenly, there was no one to cook porridge for me. Even my hair was cut short, because she wasn't there to braid them. and there was no more singing.
It's so hard to forget someone who has given you so much to remember.
But I still had my dad, and we were very close.
Oh, what was he like?
Yeah.
Ah, my papa. He's actually a very humorous and fun-loving dad. So having him around, it made the painful loss of Ama more bearable. Oh, last time my dad used to drive this green Vespa scooter, the old school kind of, you put me on it, we go around the HDB. It was so fun. And every weekend without fail, you bring me and my two younger brothers somewhere fun. Like the zoo, Chinese garden, those pop out like fun fair with the bumper cars. It was so fun. But those happy days also came to an end because when I was 15, he passed away. Oh. And it was cancer. Again.
It must have been so tough for you, Yin, to have lost two of your family members within such a short span of time.
It was.
I feel for you.
I remember that day when a hospital called. I was preparing for my exams. My mom said, drop everything, and she grabbed the boys and we just went to SGH. And she was in tears and I was shattered.
I can totally relate to that. My late wife passed away of cancer too. It was really difficult to watch her slowly slip away.
Yeah, no matter how prepared we are, the death of a loved one is always painful. Remember my friend, Hui Chiu? He too passed away some 3 months ago.
Sorry, Sean.
Death always hits us harder than we thought it would.
You know, we all know we're going to die one day, but it is a harsh reality none of us are willing to face.
Back then, I felt the world was so unfair. I lost my mama and I lost my dad. I became this angsty teenager and would quarrel with my mom. I tried to seek solace in school activities, tried to win awards, but inside, I was so bitter and jaded. Until God found me 4 years later.
Oh, where did he find you?
Right there in my room, actually. That Saturday afternoon, something prompted me to pick up this booklet my good friend gave me about the Christian faith. I was cynical about those Christians. But that day, I read it, and I really felt convicted that I needed God in my life. So I broke down in tears, and a peace just came over me. Since that day, God continued to do a work in my heart. You know, I was never close with my mom, but even so, God managed to heal and mend our relationship, especially in the final years of her life.
The healing process is like peeling an onion, layer by layer. Painful, but necessary.
I still think of them, you know, like when I hear a scooter go by, or think about my dad, or my ama when I'm eating teochew mue. A few years later, my mom passed away as well. But God, in His faithfulness, continues to watch over me and my two younger brothers.
When someone is in your heart, they're never truly gone. You just have to learn to deal with the gaping hole of their absence.
Somebody once said that grief can cause a place in our hearts that we never knew could hurt so much. But in this same place, it also allows a love we never imagined possible.
You know, you can own a home, but you can't take it with you when you die. You can travel the world, like Peter, but we must still find our way back home. We can build a house, but sometimes we can't fill our homes with joy and peace. We may have a home to return to, but our hearts will always yearn for something this world cannot give. We are all pilgrims on a journey back home. A home we have never yet been. So where then is this home?
If this world is not our home, and we're simply passing through, if our treasures are stored somewhere beyond the blue, where then is this place called home?
If our hearts will always yearn for something this world can never satisfy, perhaps it is proof that heaven is our eternal home. But what then does this place look like?
From what I know, it's a place with many mansions. The gates are pearl and the streets pure gold.
No darkness, tears, sorrow, sickness, nor death can reside in that place.
It's a place of an overflow of love, joy, and peace. In fact, it's also the place where God dwells.
Since the day you were born, you have already begun embarking on this journey. There is only one way that can lead you there.
It is called the Road of Redemption. Some 2,000 years ago, the first Christmas, God left his heavenly home and in the form of a man came down to earth to be with us.
Mankind was lost. The human race was in a dire state. The home of our hearts was full of darkness.
But that Christmas, Jesus came to heal the sick and to bring peace to our fallen world, to set us free from the claws of death.
Did you know the road of redemption was once called the road of suffering?
It was a road paved with much pain, scorn, betrayal, and finally, death. But Jesus chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me.
The road of his suffering became for us the road of redemption, the only road that will eventually lead us home.
Some journeys lead us far from home, but there's only one that will lead you back.
God's light will guide you home. Whichever state you're in, He will receive you.
The journey back home begins with just a small step. Simply invite Him into the home of your heart. It is about time to come home.
Come home to love, God's love.
Come home to forgiveness, joy, and peace.
Wherever you are, come home.
Come home
to His place called home.
Wandering too long, I'm coming home to cast and crew, the original music and arrangements, and amazing choreography. Just to tell us about home, 家, or if you're Malay speaking, rumah. It doesn't matter what culture, what background, what language you're from, whenever we say the word home, it conjures up for us all kinds of good feelings about life. Maybe that is why we have so many songs about being home for Christmas. We even have a National Day theme song called Home. You know, the word home symbolizes for us warmth, comfort and love, safety and security, but also authenticity and vulnerability. Because, you know, at home, you don't have to put on makeup, lah. Right? One of my friends say that they have washed less underwear at home, you know, because of all this lockdown. We can just be ourselves. And home, of course, is also the place of company, companionship, fellowship, and family. And that is why we all have this longing to be home. At the end of a long day battling work, life, and the world, we just want to come home to be able to hang up our armor and just be ourselves. But you know, most of us probably live in homes that are less than ideal. In fact, most of our homes are far from being perfect. You know, when you think about home, instead of being a place of peace, there's sometimes conflict, friction, and even pain. Relationships that don't work out, that are unresolved, sometimes leave us longing for a place other than home. Another place that is perhaps even better. Some people have had it so bad that they have given up on hopes. They have become cynical. They don't believe in homes anymore. There are no perfect homes. But friends, there is a perfect home. You know, God with His Son Jesus Christ in heaven was a perfect picture of harmony and peace. It is the picture of unmitigated love. And heaven is this perfect home in every way. But 2,000 years ago, on that first Christmas, on that silent night, Jesus chose to leave this perfect home above and to trade it for our broken world, to come into our broken lives and our broken homes, just so that He could be with us. And more than that, so that He could show us the way and lead us to our final home with God. God knows our longings. He understands that we have this longing because He put it there in our heart in the first place. He knows that we need help because look at the world. If we could have found our own harmony, our own home, we would have done it a long time ago. But look at the mess that we're in, that is this world. We understand that because we are just humans. We are full of brokenness and sin in our lives. Now, God's desire is that all of us receive this healing and this forgiveness. Without forgiveness, there can be no repair of the brokenness that is inside. So you see, when Jesus came on that first Christmas, He came bearing gifts of love and acceptance and forgiveness for every one of us. So you see, when we invite Jesus into our hearts and into our homes this Christmas, today, we are more than just asking for safety and security. It is more than just asking God for a roof over our heads. We are actually receiving from God this gift of forgiveness, of healing. And through that healing coming into our own hearts, it will go through us into our homes. Friends, this is God's Christmas gift for you and for me. Now, maybe for some of you today, you're saying, "That's me, Pastor. I need that healing in my home. I need that harmony in my home. But more than that, I need your forgiveness in my heart." If this is you today, I want to help you make that very important decision today. You know, there are many things in life over which we have no control. We have no say over when we are born. We have no control over when we die. But you have full control over when you say, "Yes, I receive your gift." Friends, today, if this is you, I want to give you an opportunity to invite this Christmas gift into your hearts and into your home. So what I will do is, in a minute, I will ask everybody just to close your eyes. Not yet, okay? Just in a minute, I'll ask everyone to close your eyes. And when I do, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes. All right? I will count to three. And on that count of three, if you are saying, "God, I need you. I want you in my life." If that's you, you've never done that before, I want you to lift up your hands as high as you can when no one is looking around. Is that all right? So would you now close your eyes, everyone, all across this place, nobody walking around, nobody talking, no one looking around. Just a sacred moment between us and God. I'm going to start counting now. If you never asked God into your heart before, this is your moment, all right? One, get your hands ready, all right? Just ready to shoot up. Two, this is the final count. If you're saying, "God, I want to receive you in my heart," on this last count, you put your hands up as high as you can. No one's looking around. Are you ready? Three. Just put it up as high as you can, wherever you are. All right? Wherever you are, just put it up and hold it up high. Yes, I see those hands. Yes. Just hold it up for a second. No one's looking around. Just hold it up. Yes, I see that hand. Just keep it up for a second longer. All right? Now, if you are at home and you are receiving Jesus as well, I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want all of you who are responding to pray with me. You can put your hands down, and I'm going to start praying. In your heart, you just follow me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for Christmas. Will you come into my heart and into my home? I receive your gift of love and forgiveness, and I ask for a healing in my life. Change me and make me the kind of person that you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we put our hands together for all these people who have made the most important decision they could make in this life. Now, there's one more thing I'm going to ask you to do for me, right? For those of you who are at home and you're watching, I want you to let us know, all right? Let us know by just writing in a chat saying that I received this gift. All right? Just type there, "I received this gift," and we'll have someone follow up with you. But for those of you who are here, we also want to know, okay? So if you're not too shy, I'm going to ask you to stand up from wherever you are so that we can just, you know, acknowledge you and encourage you. Can you do that? Right? Don't be too shy about it. I'm also kind of shy myself, but why don't you just stand up wherever you are if you made that decision so that our ushers can recognize you and we can give you just a clap and encourage you. Would you like to do that? Okay, can you just stand up, right? Wherever you are, just stand up. If you raise your hands, okay? Yeah. Don't worry, if you're too shy, that's also fine, all right? Now, what we want to do is, we want to encourage you that this is just a first step. So, before you go out from this place, if you have raised up your hand, make a decision, you know, make sure you collect the response from, let someone at the ushers at the entrance know. Now, we're not over yet. I know some of you are, you know, ready to run to the toilet. But we have a couple more songs before we call this a wrap. This is our fourth time we're doing this, all right? But the last time, just for you, all right? So sit back, we praise the Lord together, and we'll enjoy this last couple of songs.
Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the bold. how people sing songs of the cheer. Christmas is here. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Merry, merry.
Praise God, amen. Praise God for all the testimonies, and really it was an amazing performance from all of you. Let's give another round of applause to the singers, to the cast, to the dancers, and to all the crew who have been here helping us. It was such a meaningful presentation. Praise the Lord for each one of you. They did four services with all their rehearsals. And I want to make special mention of Haley, our youngest member of the team. Yeah, thank you. Thank you all very much. It's such a meaningful Christmas for each and every one of us. And just one last thing for those of you who are here on site. As you leave, our ushers will be handing you a pack of homemade cookies, a little Christmas present from all of us to you. Merry Christmas. Let's stand and give thanks to the Lord for this time together, that we can even meet. Yeah, it's so wonderful. Although we are small in number, but the Lord has made it possible for us to come and celebrate together and hear the message of Christmas, that God is with us. Father, we thank you. We are so grateful to you, Lord, for all that you are to us. Thank you for these amazing testimonies that we heard this morning, that you are involved in the details of our lives. And you are there with each one of us as we go through different seasons, that you never leave us. And as we go from here, may your Holy Spirit continue to lead and guide us, Fill us to overflowing with this love, that all that we meet will experience this love even through us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merry Christmas. God bless you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near.
It's the most wonderful time.